We're back.
Hey, everybody.
Welcome to season two of BCC Recap. My name's Evan.
I'm Andrew.
And we're so glad that you've joined us back here for season two. This podcast is where we take what's happening in our church and what we're learning together and bring it into unscripted conversations that dive a little bit deeper. Wherever you're listening to us today, we're glad that you've joined us and we're so glad that you're here. We also finally have some music on the track. It's not actually that. Andrew hasn't heard it yet because we're just recording this and I'll put it in later in post. The concept was I was going to get Justin to record a fake track because basically last April Fool's Day was on a recording day for us. So we had hatched this entire plan of like, okay, we'll make two tracks. One will be like the worst track that you've ever heard and one will be the actual one and we'll do this whole thing. And then Justin had a baby and he didn't have a baby, but him and his wife had a baby and that kind of derailed it. So I just found some music that we already had paid for. So we didn't have to pay for it more, but we're really excited to be back. And we'll be kind of back into this next season for the next couple months through a couple different series. And this week we are talking about grace. I would imagine fairly foundational thing to start off a year on.
Yeah, I think so.
Not the most wild concept we've ever had service. Why don't we start out with just a little bit of a recap? So do you want to talk about maybe like what is grace and what your main point and your challenge was for this past week?
Yeah, so we talked actually quite a bit about grace, obviously, if it was the center point of the sermon and the center point of the series. And we talked about how grace is really a few different things, how it's unmerited favor, how you gain something that you just never, ever deserved, and how grace is something that we also are called to not only receive, but to give to other people. Mm-hmm. But the main kind of thing was that God is a God of grace and that he gives us grace. And the main challenge I had was to receive grace and to be thankful for it, that God gives us his love and his mercy and that he is so rich in mercy and that we are saved mm-hmm. by grace. That's what we spent a lot of time on. In Ephesians 2, verse 6, it says that we were saved by grace so that we cannot, it's nothing that we can boast about, but instead it's the work that he does for us. And so, that's what we took a look at on Sunday.
Yeah. It's interesting. Like, I think it could probably be said that 6 weeks seems like a lot for one topic, mm-hmm. but when you actually dive into the substance of grace and how it's talked about in the Bible and all the different implications, you could probably pack a year just talking about grace. Why is it so important for us? Like, why do you think it is so foundational?
Yeah, I think it's really like the cornerstone of not only theology, but the kingdom of God. Mm. That if you think about in Romans, it says, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And I just believe that grace is really the foundational to the kingdom of God, that we are welcomed in as we are, that we are invited in as we are, that we are included as we are, and that it's not based on what we have done, but instead it's based on what Christ has done. So for me, grace is really, really important for us to understand because it's all about how we get welcomed into the kingdom, welcomed into salvation. And when I say the kingdom, also into salvation and into eternity with Jesus too. It covers all those things. Mm-hmm. So we would not be Christians if there was not grace. Right. We wouldn't be able to be here if there wasn't grace. So I just think it's such an important thing for us to, I don't know, think about, talk about, and try to understand even deeper.
Yeah. And I know you're going to be obviously unpacking this more over the next month and a bit. But was there anything specifically in this sermon this week that you wanted to get to that you didn't have time to?
No, this sermon, I think I was pretty good with having time to cover some of the things I wanted to, mainly because I have 6 weeks to talk about grace, which is pretty, it sounds pretty funny to think that through. But like this week, we're going to talk about how grace changes our futures and how being accepted by God is a thing that allows us to live differently. Mm. And so I think that's going to be really important. We're going to take a look at how people also use the term grace in six different ways without even realizing it. Mm. And so we'll take a look at some of the subtleties of it. We'll talk about sharing grace, which is so, so hard to do. Because if somebody needs it, it probably means that they don't deserve it, which means that it's really tough to give. And then we're going to also talk about some different kind of stages of grace. So there's just so much to unpack that I am grateful for 6 weeks to be able to do that.
Before we keep going this morning, we want to let you know about fall kickoff. We just celebrated the kickoff back into the swing of school and the ministry year, and we have so many different ways for you to get connected here at Bethany. You can check out our website at the link in the description to find ways you can get involved, volunteer, and more. All right, so we got some questions for you today.
Awesome.
So the first one, and it's funny, with these questions specifically, I imagine there are probably some that we'll hit up that will be answered in more detail later in this series as but this might give us a bit of a kind of interesting cross-section. So the first one says, can grace and justice truly coexist, or do they inevitably pull against each other?
Well, that's beautiful. Mm. That's a beautiful question. That's a hard question. Can grace and justice coexist? I would say they have to coexist because our God is a God of justice, but he's also a God of grace. I actually think that in many ways, grace can lead to justice. This one is a tough one.
Starting season two off
in a very challenging one. Only the two most difficult kind of things recognize.
I think it probably, some of the hardness of it might be because of defining terms. Justice can take on a lot of different forms, I think. And I think when you mentioned there that grace, that grace can lead to justice. And this idea, if justice is grounded in redemption, then I think grace is crucial to it, right? But if justice is grounded in being punitive or in anything other than just flourishing, we end up then grace can't almost be a part of it, right?
Yeah, I think that's actually really, really wise, and that's really true. Yeah, if justice is just based on punitive behavior, on people's behavior, whatever else it is, grace isn't so much a part of it. But if grace is, or justice is about restoration and renewal of all things and the coming together of all things being made right as they were originally meant to be, or you think about reconciliation, then grace has to be a part of that for there to be the refinding and the renewal of all things together. So but they are kind of, I think, in our own minds sometimes two kind of poles that definitely do poles that can kind of pull on each other. Yeah, that's a really, really great question. I'm not sure I have a great answer for that one.
Yeah, I think another way I'd phrase it maybe too is can grace and consequence coexist? Or what's the, I think sometimes the the heart of that question is does grace mean that people don't actually, that they just get let off the hook, right?
I think we can give grace, but grace doesn't erase consequences. And grace doesn't erase some of the things that we might end up kind of dealing with. I think in my own, relationships or marriage, if I do something wrong, Krista can give me grace and forgive me, but there still might be broken trust. There still might be broken hurt. There still might be, ways in which I have to deal with things. In the same way that forgiveness doesn't necessarily mean that there isn't consequences either. That sometimes I think the way we think of sin is, and that we kind of forget it, we sometimes think about God punishing us for our sins. Instead, I think we should often think of it kind of the other way, that sin itself has punishments within it. And while there is grace, sometimes we aren't saved from the actual consequences of our own choices that we bring into it. So I don't think those two things are necessarily completely separate, as we might think.
Speaking of punishment, I pulled a Bible verse from the very end of the Bible in Revelation. It says, it closes with the words in Revelation 22. It says, "The grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's people." The question is, why do you think grace is the Bible's final note?
I also think it's the first note too, that we are created in and out of love and grace and God wanting there to be someone to actually talk with, to be with, to have and share his love with. I just think it's really important because I think the whole through line of the story of the Gospels, of the story of the Gospel itself, is grace. And so I think it is important that it ends with that, because it also begins with that. We'll talk a little bit about that this Sunday, actually, and how grace is a part of the Gospel and how that opens up a new future for us. And what Revelation is really about is, where does the future kind of end? And where it ends is with grace, and the grace being with God's people. And so I just think that that is a beautiful way to kind of put it. And I'd never thought about that being the end note, but I think it's the right end note for sure.
Well, it shouldn't surprise us, right, that if, like you were saying at the beginning, that God is a God of grace, that if the story of the Bible kind of hinges around God's work, that it would end with grace as well, right? Mm-hmm. That like that would be the kind of through line through everything, right?
Yeah.
Is that kind of like redemptive grace. Kind of connected into our first one, just talking about consequence and things like that and justice, is the question number four says, in what ways do we as individuals or communities unintentionally put conditions on grace?
Oh, I think we do it in all sorts of ways mm-hmm. all the time. I think it's especially hard for people who are followers of Jesus, because once you start to follow Jesus, you can somehow get into this idea that you have earned your place mm-hmm. By your good behavior, because the whole point is for us to live and love and look more like Jesus. And so we put a lot of effort into that, but that effort doesn't mean that we have earned our spot. Mm-hmm. Dallas Willard once said that grace is not opposed to effort, it's opposed to earning. Mm-hmm. And so there can still be effort with grace, yet we are actually called to not be earning our place within Christianity. Once we think that we've earned our place, it's very easy then to slide into seeing other people who haven't earned their place. Mm. And I think it's often that's where legalism comes from, or that's where Phariseeism comes from. And we think that we've somehow, made it in. So therefore they haven't, because they haven't hit these kind of behavioral markers that we would have. And we often put, I think, limitations on what grace can. I think grace properly understood, it actually should be offensive to us in many ways, especially if we're going to take a look at that, how it is offensive in some of the Gospels. But especially when we, see other people receiving it, it can bring within us an idea of like, oh, they don't deserve that. And you're like, yeah, that's the whole point. Mm. Neither do we. Mm. So I think it's really easy to have limitations.
That's kind of the thing.
That's kind of
right?
the thing. That's kind of the, yeah. And if you've earned it, then it's not really grace, really, is it?
Yeah. I love that quote. The one you mentioned by Dallas Willard, like this idea that like grace is not something of inaction,
no.
right? Just because it's not an earned thing,
yeah.
right? That it still requires movement. It still requires something of us, but not isn't dependent on those things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think maybe to go full circle, maybe that idea of effort too can show how grace and justice aren't completely separate. Because even if you receive grace, there's effort involved with it.
Right.
You're still called to action.
Yeah.
You just haven't earned your place in it.
Yeah.
And it's not as if all of a sudden grace, requires nothing of us. I actually think it requires a lot of us.
Yeah.
And
the grace that we receive from God should move us into
yes.
action, right? It's
yeah.
something that, yeah, it's not a passive thing,
no,
right?
No, it's not this passive only reception thing that doesn't actually do anything else. You're like, no, it changes who you are and how you should be living and moving and being in the world.
Yeah. And that is probably a really good definer too of because excusing is passive, right?
Yes.
Excusing just says we're going to take that all off and it's gone. Right.
Yeah.
But that there's actually something more there to it. Bring it down a little bit more, kind of every day. How can grace transform conflict that we have in our everyday lives, whether in families, friendships, or larger communities like the one that we're all a part of?
It can remind you of the importance of giving it in the midst of conflict. There are some times where you just realize that you can keep fighting, or you can actually just be somebody who gives grace and gives forgiveness and gives like just chooses to let some things go. I think really that's what grace does.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when Krista was pregnant with one of the kids, she got really, really mad at me at one point because I didn't bring home chocolate milk.
Mm.
And this is kind of a funny story, but she was so upset about this. She was like yelling about it and was like really, really worked up over it. And she had never asked me to bring home chocolate milk. She just thought that she had asked me to bring home chocolate milk. And this is a kind of a funny example, but like we could have an argument over that, or I can just choose to be like, this is just something to let go and
yeah.
that's okay. And I love my wife and I will just go buy you chocolate milk
yeah.
right now because that's what she was craving and I'll go do that thing.
Because you're growing our child.
Yeah. And there's like, and I know like that one's an easy example, but when to give grace because it's with the woman that I love. But I think sometimes in everyday and regular relationships, there are people we love where we can just choose to either let something go. They might be having a grumpy, bad, off day, and we don't need to fight. We don't need to continue to engage in that conflict. We can actually kind of let things down or let things go. So I think it can really radically change how we enter into conflict, and especially how hard we fight and when we fight and when we don't, and when we choose to kind of, like I said, let things go or let things slide and just choose to give grace to people.
Yeah, I think that's so good. And I think that is like super practical. Like I've talked, I think, on the pod before about like a check-in for me is always like, do I give people the benefit of the doubt that when I come to like conflict or situations, like oftentimes when we talk about grace or how do we give grace, we think of it in very large ways of like, oh, I should like somebody's done something really bad and I'm going to give grace in that situation. But sometimes it can be as simple as just saying like, hey, like, do I assume the worst out of them in this situation before I have all the facts? Mm-hmm. Right. Or like if I come up against conflict, it's like, oh, like, actually, I'm going to let go of my anger in this moment, or like, I'm going to mm-hmm. assume that they weren't trying to hurt me, or those sort of things. Right. And that's not to, again, get into like excusing or like having bad boundaries, but just like it can be in little ways, too, that are actually like giving grace to someone can look like dealing with things in ourselves as well in those moments in conflict.
Yeah. And I think grace shows up, or grace is needed, especially in lots of everyday ways. If you've ever like lived with somebody, whether it's a roommate or you have a family or whatever, you can notice how easy it is for those people to grate on your nerves very easily. And there are like multiple opportunities, I think, in every day to give grace to people, and especially those who live closest to you, where it's like, oh, the dishes aren't done again. Like, how do you fill that gap? Is it with, you know, they meant to do this, or they always do this, or are you going to give grace and some, I don't know, forgiveness and that sort of thing? I just think that grace needs to become an everyday action that we take with those around us if we're going to be not only changed by it, but to also allow it to change other people too.
Yeah. We should put that out on social, just like a photo of dirty dishes. It just says, give them grace.
Give them grace. Give them grace. Yeah.
Just a whole, there's probably a whole series of those that you could do.
Oh, yeah.
Speaking of like good boundaries and accountability, if grace is limitless, how do we reconcile that with healthy boundaries and accountability?
So we'll get into this a bit in week three, because sometimes people actually don't always assume that grace is limitless. And so we'll kind of unpack some of this a little bit there. But I don't believe that, again, when we were talking about grace and justice, I don't believe that grace and boundaries are opposites either, or that they can't actually coexist together. Mm-hmm. And I do think it matters for us to have healthy boundaries, especially when it comes to people who might be toxic or abusive or those sort of things. It's really important for us to maintain those boundaries for our own health and for the health of the other person sometimes as well. But grace then might look differently in those situations. Mm-hmm. I think that's where we might need to give grace in different ways. You might even need to be able to give grace for yourself as well, to say, I can't actually be in this kind of a situation or in this moment because it's just unhealthy for me. And it's a really complicated, I think, kind of question. And I don't know, do you have thoughts on it too?
Yeah, it is tough. I think back, and not to like make this podcast just like come back to the same thing every time, but I think about like our language of posture and about like this kind of like posture that we wear, and that like having a posture of grace is going to look differently in different scenarios, and that like sometimes that does mean when people hurt you or those sort of things that you give grace and you forgive and all those sort of things. But then sometimes it can look like walking with grace through having boundary conversations or having a posture of grace when you do have to like make tough decisions, have tough conversations, right? So it's not always like a, like grace means this is what happens, right? In the same way that sometimes it can be with somebody else. Sometimes acting with grace means looking inward and how I'm presenting in a conversation or in a conflict, and the kind of things that are going on internally for me. It can look different in those situations too, right? And how you offer and how you live out grace when situations are tough and tricky like that. Yeah, might be more about how you approach that situation than what the actual outcome is. Maybe that's a good way of saying it.
Yeah. And I think in that question, sometimes we equate grace with forgiveness as if they're equal. And I'm not sure that's necessarily wrong or bad. And I think that question kind of assumes that, you know, so then we should always be forgiving. And I believe that we should absolutely always be forgiving. Mm-hmm. But forgiveness does not necessarily also mean reconciliation. Mm-hmm. Forgiveness also does not necessarily mean that we maintain relationships in the same without any boundaries or whatsoever. Those things require trust. Those things require grace for sure for them to happen. But I think sometimes we have this idea that forgiveness means completely forgetting what has happened, and that's not true. And I don't think grace calls us to do that either.
Yeah.
And so I think in that way, grace and boundaries can coexist, that we can forgive someone and we can let go of what they have done to us. But then we also need to make decisions around what is healthy for us in terms of our boundaries. And we'll talk about that too. I think it is in week five where we talk about how Christ has forgiven us of so much, we're called to forgive other people, but that doesn't just mean the erasure of all boundaries and living in toxic spaces or with toxic people without any thought for how we might do that in healthy and whole and boundary filled ways.
Yeah. It's like, one thing can't be true at the detriment of another true thing. Right. So it's like, grace being true, can't exist at the detriment of, like redemption and being growth oriented. So like if what we believe about grace is keeping us in harmful situations, it's not grace. Right. Mm-hmm. And that sort of thing. So, the last question I have for you, is more just about, kind of the fall and kind of the rest of this season.
Sure.
Is like, what are you excited about? Now that we're kind of back into the swing of things, we just had kickoff this past weekend. And we're back doing the pod as you kind of look ahead towards like the rest of this year. What are you excited about?
I'm really excited about actually like the sermon series. I'm really like pumped about to be able to share around grace and some of the, like I said, some of the subtleties and some of the ways I think we actually think of it incorrectly. And so I'm really excited about this series that's coming up. Mm-hmm. I'm also excited about a series for us in November where we're going to take a look at the binding of Isaac for 3 weeks, which I'm sure everyone else is like super, super excited for. Now that I've mentioned it, you've been waiting for me to preach on the binding of Isaac. So we're going to take 3 weeks of that story. And
that's the first that I've heard that. And like, there's no world in which I would have guessed that coming out of your mouth. You know, the classic hot topic that's happening right now, the binding of Isaac. Yeah.
The thing that everybody's talking about that I want to take 3 weeks to take a look at. Oh, yeah. Man. Yeah. So we're going to have 3 weeks on one story. Yeah. That's going to be really interesting for people once we kind of dive into it. Personally, what I'm looking forward to is we're going camping again in a little while, and nice. I'll be doing some fall camping. So like that's like work-wise, I'm excited about some of these things, and personal-wise, I'm excited about that getting started up and seeing that. And my kids are going to be back into their kind of like fall routine. So I'll be sitting in some cold hockey arenas, and I do actually like that. And seeing my daughter perform and cheer and all that kind of thing is some stuff we're looking forward to as a family.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. All right, that is a wrap for today's episode. We love having these conversations, and we're so glad to be back, but they're even better when you're a part of them. So if you've got questions, thoughts, or topics that you'd love to hear about, shoot us a text at 905-937-5300, or you can email communications at bethanycc.ca. These can be topical questions about what we're talking about, or you can just message us whatever questions you have. Yeah. Andrew likes the odd kind of random one out of nowhere. So, let us know. We'd love to hear from you. Before you go, don't forget to subscribe to the BCC pod so you never miss an episode. Coming up this month, we're going to have some special releases around like our AGM and our annual report that you're going to want to watch out for, some kind of expanded conversations, and make sure to leave us a quick rating or review. That's the simplest way to help others find us and be encouraged as well. Thanks again for joining us, and we'll see you all on Sunday and back here next week. See ya.